Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome yourself to another episode of our Conversations, which is affectionately called When Black Men Talk. We get together on a Sunday morning and just have conversations. Myself, Mark Elliott, Mr. DeMaurice, Mr. Charles, and no telling what we might talk about. I've been asked from time to time, how do you come up with the topics that you guys kind of discuss? And it's interesting. Sometimes I make notes of certain thoughts I have, and from there, it just grows. Or sometimes I could be in a certain place and I witness something or see something, and I think, you know, this is something that we should kind of go a little deeper into. This particular show, we're going to start out by paying tributes to mothers. I know Mother's Day was last week. We're on the week after, and that's a glorious day among itself. But for some reason, around Mother's Day, prior to it, maybe shortly after, I was thinking that we need to spend a little more time and do a tribute to mothers, because I was at a concert about a week ago, and for some reason this hit me. I just looked around the various population of so many people were there, and I was like, all of us came from women. You think about that. The whole world population, in essence, none of us would be here if it wasn't for a woman. And so many times we kind of move away from that thought, that idea, and as simple as that may sound, it's huge. And I don't think we spend enough time in general. One day, of course, is nice, but we don't spend enough time really honoring the fact that women were given responsibility to bring forth birth and child to this world. And with that, the tribute should really go. But beyond that, the things that they have to incur, the things that they deal with, how life is basically not kind to them from time to time, I say, you know what, we got to go a little deeper and spend more time and pay tribute. And a lot of times on this show, when we talked about mothers, mothers that have come, or we just talk about mothers in general, we talked about our own moms a great deal. So for those that have listened over the years, you probably know our mothers. You probably know, you know, how they were, who they were, what they said, what they did to an extent. And I didn't want to spend any time going back and rehashing none of that. I want to focus on mothers in general and the mothers that we don't know and spend some time really giving them some flowers, because we don't get a chance to really extend our hand and say thank you. And we need to do that more often, especially as men, because men, we can't take for granted what a mother does, what she has to go through. We don't carry a child for 9 months. We don't have the weight gain, everything that goes along with it. We don't have the periods when they're not pregnant. We don't experience none of that stuff. And a lot of times, to our own demise and our selfishness and our dumbness, we've looked at women as basically being a sense of self-gratification, something that we basically can use as a tool. And we got to be better than that. And we should be better than that. So with that being said, we're going to spend a little time, Mr. DeMaurice and Mr. Charles, just kind of paying tribute to mothers, man. Good morning to you both. Mr. Charles, I'm going to go to you first, man. You know, you kind of turned a year older. You've been doing some things. I want to check with you and see how you've been, boss.
I'm blessed, bro. Blessed. So, you know, what can you say? I mean, it's a blessing to be another year older and start putting things in perspective as to how far you've come, what you've been able to accomplish, and how your predecessors, others before you, have not been so fortunate. So we always have room to complain if that's what you choose to do, but I do not do that because I think every day is a blessing. And I want to take advantage and move forward and use what I can to help others and just do some good things, man, while I'm still here. So truly a blessing. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, man. That's the thing, too. When we're younger, we think, I know I had that mindset, and I know I wasn't alone. When we were younger, think you're going to live forever. And as you start to age, you start to realize how each day is so valuable and precious among itself, and the gift that comes with it. So, oh, yeah, man. I mean, that sitting back and doing some reevaluation, that's where it is. I understand that totally. again, I want us to spend some time as we get this one rolling, this particular episode rolling, just doing a tribute to moms in general. Again, Mother's Day was 7 days ago, and that was beautiful. But I want to go a little deeper. I'm going to go beneath the surface and speak how, here again, for our population, our world, what we know to be, just knowing you, you came from woman, knowing Mr. DeMaurice, what we do, we'd be able to do none of it if they weren't here. So that being said, give you a chance to get some flowers, sir.
Yeah, when the subject came up, I thought about a woman that I still have close contact with. Her name is Miss Blue, Miss Marcia Blue. I don't know if you ever met her. You lived in the same area, but my good friend Eric is Eric's mom. And when I was younger, she was really the one that kind of I lived with grandma and I lived with my parents too, but more so when I met Miss Blue, I was around like a block away from her. And she was the one that really kind of took care of me. And I remember her saying one time, she's like, you know, I always thought about adopting you because, you know, I know her son is her biological son, she said. But she said, you're a son of my spirit. You're a son that we got along well. You know, you understood me. I understood you. And she always was really grateful that I was there for my grandmother. And she always said that, you know, you were a lot more mature than a lot of other young men your age. And so over the years, we've been able to communicate. And I probably talked to her about more things than I talked to my mother over the years as an adult. But she's that common force. She's always checking on me and making sure I'm okay, whether it's a text message or, you know, a phone call. And I got a chance to talk to her a couple of days before Mother's Day. I didn't want to be too cheesy and call her Mother's Day. But I consider her like a mother figure. It's always really interesting. Like, you know, I know all of us have lost our mother. It's interesting how mothers kind of emerge out of places and times in your lives where you're not really expecting it. And she was one of those mothers who was just watching me in the neighborhood, watching over me. And I never knew until I became an adult and we'd had conversations. And then she would remind me of things that, you know, that I did and what I said and all this other stuff. She really became a lifesaver real quick. I couldn't get a car for the prom, and me and my buddy was wanted to go to the prom together. And she was the one that let me, she just bought a new Buick, and she was the one that let me have the car for the whole weekend. And she trusted me with the car. She didn't even trust Eric with the car. Eric didn't have his license, and she said, Don, I know you're going to be responsible. I know you're going to take care of this. And she said, the only rule I have is that you do not. She had two rules. Don't drink and drive. And don't let Eric do anything behind the wheel. And I said, okay, that's cool. And Eric, as we became adults, he's like, man, she trusted you more than she trusted me. You know, and that's how, you know, you know, he said, that's how I always got mad at you and all that stuff, because she was, you know, she wouldn't trust you, but that's how she kind of saw me. She saw me as this other son. She had two children. She had a daughter who was younger than me, and then she had Eric, but she always involved me in a lot of stuff. She would always feed me. She was like, you were so thin, so I had to just feed you. And she was that mother figure that, you know, I pay tribute to, I love. And we always end our conversation with I love you, and just like another parent. So and I'm pretty sure she tells me things that she doesn't tell her own kids, but we have that relationship where we can be open and honest and very frank about certain things. And just like I said, she emerged right after, you know my mom died and just stayed there, and you know, almost like she was waiting in the wings to take on that role.
That instinct is really unique, boss. It really is. It's interesting how it's given to you when you need it, and that's amazing. Mr. Charles, want to bring you in, of course, the tribute to mothers.
Yeah, like you said before, without mothers, there would be no children. And I think a lot of times when I talk to even talk to my niece or my younger cousins, I tell them that they must understand their worth, and they must understand truly that they are queens, and what the legitimacy goes along with that, and just in general about how. I think when you don't have something or in your life, and I can speak about that, not having your mother around or being able to connect with her in such a manner for a long time, when you have a short period of time, you have a greater appreciation for what you don't have, right? Other people take it for granted or whatnot. But, you know, as Dee Maurice mentioned, there are women that even are natural mothers that have a sense about you as a child or a young person or even as an adult as to when you need something, when you're hurting, when you just need compassion, somebody understands. And for me, a lot of the times it happened where I was just going along my way and never complained, never said anything, but this person saw me and they said, hey, by the way, I'm going to give you this because nobody else sees you, but I understand it. And they give you what you need. They nurture you. They take care of you. And I think that's just a lot of their spirit. So we take them, as Dee Maurice mentioned, and I think you mentioned this before, Mark, we take oftentimes women for granted for the roles that they play. But we as men sometimes, particularly as working men, particularly back in the day, it might change a lot more now because the women are a lot more independent. We take them for granted for what they do and what they set aside. So if you're a person that's working and you're always on the road, always busy, somebody has to be there for the children. Somebody has to be in those moments when they're needed to somebody tell them that they love them or continue to encourage them. And that doesn't always work well on the road. And I'm not saying it happens to everybody, but sometimes children don't need money. They don't need cars. They don't need a bunch of stuff. They just need love and understanding. So women often fill that role. And, it's not like women that are true mothers and really care about their children and others and the way that they share that love and show it to those individuals that they connect with.
Yeah. Truly a gift from God that they are, man. Truly a gift from God is what they are, and they hold that banner up well. They really do. I as I said earlier, we should do better as men. I think we have to look at women differently in a sense, not as what we can gain, as what we can offer. Understand their place and their role and why they were placed there. And so when I say better, I think that's a good place to start. I think that's a good launching pad to really start. And if we can do that, I think our response to them would be a lot better, a lot different, a lot stronger, a lot more positive. I want to roll it into pride. In a sense, because as men, we carry a decent amount of it. Some of us have too much, and some of us may not have enough. But I want to first look at it, Mr. Charles, as pride reside in us as men. Can it be a good thing or a bad thing?
I say it's definitely a good thing. I mean, because you got to have pride. I think, and pride, to me, is connected to strength. If you don't have pride, then it can be very difficult for you to move forward in life. And I think that's part of being strong in who you are, having self, understanding your self-worth, understanding who you are and understanding what you're capable of. Because this world is nasty. It can be very nasty. And there can be some detractors or some people that can make your life very difficult. So I think pride is a great thing. My thing is, though, I just hope that so many of us have had the experience or the ability to understand that it's okay to be prideful and that you should be prideful. Oftentimes, a lot of people don't have that. So they become, I wouldn't say pets, but they become people that can be easily pushed around, influenced, and not feel strongly about who they are as a person or their inner self.
I like that. Mr. Dee Maurice, pride can be misconstrued as being a bad thing. It can be looked upon if someone's, I guess, over prideful. So that's where I kind of find this. Is it a good thing or bad thing, sir? I think Mr. Beach might have fell asleep over there.
No, the dog's over here barking, so I was putting it on mute. I'm sitting here talking.
I understand,
talking,
my brother.
I think it could be both. I think if you take pride in your work, and that means taking care of it, making sure that it's the best product or the best you can do, I think it could be a good thing. But if you're too prideful about something, as my dad always says, and he quotes from I guess the Bible with this, it's like, you know, pride comes before a fall. So if you're too proud of something or prideful of something, it could be to your downfall. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like as the Bible says, the tongue. You know, it can be used to comfort and love, and it can be used to, you know, to cut down. So you have to be really careful with that particular that word pride and how you use it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there has to be a balance and an awareness of pride, especially if a man. I think that we have to really kind of pay attention, because we can get caught up. We really can, with that ego and the pride mixing together. We can never get caught up. And there's three types of pride. Dignity, superiority, and arrogance tend to fall under pride in terms of a man. And I was just saying, I think we should strike a balance. So I'm coming to you with this, Mr. DeMaurice, taking those there, looking at dignity, superiority, and arrogance. Let's take 100% and let's break it down. Let's give a certain percentage to, if you was to break it down, what would you give the dignity? What percentage? What would you give the superiority? What would you give the arrogance, sir?
If I had to choose the perfect combination of those, I would give 100% to dignity and not give anything to arrogance or superiority. And the reason why is, you know, I think arrogance could really, you know, get you into that fall, being arrogant and too arrogant, of course, will get you that fall. And thinking that you're superior to everybody else can get you to that fall too. But to hold yourself with dignity and respect demands dignity and respect back. So I would put 100% into dignity.
Well, you have it right there, Mr. Charles. We'll take 100%. We're breaking it down. Dignity, superiority, and arrogance, if you were to give it a percentage a man should probably strive for, how would you place it?
I agree 100% with the aspect of what DeMaurice said, but, you know, for me, life is a little bit more. I mean, I'm sure you understand this too. I'm a realist, man, again, and I might be a pessimist as well too. Life is crazy. It's all, I mean, as much as I want to be dignified and everything, there's sometimes, like you said, you know, you can be super nice. Sometimes you just got to come with an iron fist, bro, because people will take advantage of you. And that might be a person that sounds like they victimized, or they, you know, they're on an anger tip or whatever. So with that being said, my numbers are, I'd say dignity 60%, superiority, man, 30, and arrogance 10. Sometimes you just have to show who you are. And it's not that you're trying to prove how tough you are or how great you are. It's just about you have to stand on your own. And that's how respect is sometimes earned, because people are coming for you all the time. And if you just kind of go along being passive and talk about, oh, I'm just going to be dignified, whatnot, sometimes that will work for me. sometimes people got to be put in their place. Not all the time, just sometimes. So that's why I went with those other areas in 30 and 10.
Yeah. My numbers are kind of close to yours in a sense when I thought about this. I would give dignity 50. Now, I'd love to be higher on dignity, but I'm going to give it 50, and I'm going to give superiority about a good close to 40. Let's say 35, and I'll drop in 5% of arrogance. Because to me, arrogance is really not needed. But dignity would be the foundation. That's why I gave it 50, because that's what it should be as a man. But there are people don't respect if you don't have some superiority. Not that it's kind of looked upon and it's searched and they want it, but when you don't see, display some, or you don't have that within you when it's necessary, you're looked upon and you're dealt with a certain way. You just are. And I think that there are times that there's certain things inside of all of us. We can carry them. They're inside of us, but they don't have to be on display at all times. And you have to know when to that should be on display and when it should not be. And there's a time when superiority doesn't have to be on display. It just has to be. If you're sure of who you are, what you're doing, what you're capable of, there's no problem with that. Even with that, there's a balance not to go over, but I think that, yeah, that's necessary and it's needed. Here's something that's interesting. As I was doing this and kind of really looking on both sides, it's been said, Mr. Charles, that that a woman doesn't have to have pride. She doesn't have pride unless she has a husband. And a husband becomes her sense of pride. Now, as crazy as that may sound, how does her husband relate to her basically having pride? Is that in reality, the way she cares, the way she's towards him, he becomes her symbol of pride. Now, I'm reading this and I'm going, okay, maybe that's what was kind of written a while ago because it sounds outdated to me. It sounds, when I look at reality, like you said, I mean, you're a realist, and when we come back to reality, and sometimes words are spoken and they're great, but how do they fit into what's really going on and what's been transpiring? So when I say that, in a sense that, for the most part, you know, it's said that woman has no pride. If she does not have a husband, there is no pride for her to have. Does that sound jaded or outdated to you, sir?
I think it does sound outdated because, as I mentioned earlier, about there being so many independent women. And I think at that time we were living in a time where men were the head of the household, men kind of directed things, and the family went along by whatever the head of the household, the man at the time, would decide. And that's just how it was for a lot of people. But now in this modern day age, a lot of women, they may not be married, they may not be connected in that way, but I don't think that that should take away from them having pride. It's just a different time, and a lot of people that grew up or grew up a certain kind of way or listen to the old school way or what they thought of, it's hard for them to receive that. But you just got to be honest when we come back to reality of things. We just live in a different time.
I agree with that. Mr. DeMaurice, it's been spoken, it's been said. Again, I'm not sure when it was spoken, when it was said, but it was out there that a woman has no pride unless she has a husband who is the crown.
Yeah, I think a lot of documents were written in the time and space where women didn't have a role over men or a role either equal to men and were looked upon as inferior. So I think some of that stuff was written there. But definitely a woman that has to have pride in herself and how she carries herself and who she is. And she's an individual. She's an individual, and you know, we often talk about subjects that, you know, some of our women are like, I don't need no man, but yeah, you don't need a man to have pride, and so pride in yourself and what you do and how you carry yourself. So I definitely think this is a little bit outdated, and you know, I think the roles have changed over time, And we need to be in step with current realities of situations and different roles that we play as men and women.
There it is. I agree with you too, gentlemen. Basically, yeah, that's truly outdated. I mean, women take pride in a lot of different things that may go unnoticed, but they do. The way they care for themselves, the way they care for others, the way they care for their homes. I mean, a lot of different things they do with a sense of pride. So, yeah, that was, like you said, Mr. Reese, written at a time when I don't think women were thought of properly. I wanted to roll into this, though, because I came across a video I was watching the other day where, and I think this might be a little prideful, too, where a woman was saying that she see a lot of women with their mate, could be their husband or their mate, not really listening to him. If he says something, whatever, she would challenge. But she'll go to work, and if somebody tells her to do something, she's ready to do it. She'll listen to her girlfriend. If she said she's ready to do it. She'll listen to her family, ready to do it. But if he says something, she has a problem in basically listening to him. Now, based on what we just said when it comes to, you know, women with pride, is that pride of a woman where she can't accept it from her mate, but maybe hearing the same thing from someone else or hearing direction from someone else, she takes it so much easier and much more willingly, Ms. DeMaurice, to do it. How is that pride, or if it's not pride, what is it?
I think it falls in line of what, you know, those three areas you talked about, the arrogance, superiority, and dignity. There's none in that particular situation. The arrogance that you know, she's holding, that being too prideful, that superiority, that I am better than my male counterpart, and I don't have any respect for him at all. So I think it's a combination of those three that, you know, we talk about pride. It's a very, very tricky thing, and how you use it can either add value or take away value from other people and how you think of them. And I think in those situations, the person just doesn't have respect for the other person. They respect everybody else but that person they're with. And I think a lot of the times it says more about the person that is not respecting their mate than the person that they're disrespecting.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's a matter of superiority. I really do. I think a lot of times when you're in a situation, she looks at you from a place where she doesn't want to see that you're superior to her. That doesn't mean she doesn't love you. I'm not going to say it doesn't mean she doesn't respect you. But she has a problem with your superiority. And your superiority might be the reason why she fell in love with you. But there's a problem because inside of her, she doesn't want to be told by you. And it's that, to me, it's that simple. It's that black and white. So when someone else, let's say a person on the job says something, even though that person could be a supervisor, she takes it as, okay, this is what I'm scheduled to do. It's what I'm paid to do. So she doesn't even have a problem with that. A friend could say something, it gets in a lot easier because, oh, they're not coming at me in a superior state. Therefore, when their mate says these things, for some reason, the defense goes up, the wall goes up. Who are you to tell me? And it's that man against woman type of thing at that point. And it's like, there goes the defense. There goes the defense to where, uh-uh. And I remember years ago, I went to this thing where this minister was speaking. This supposed to have been about couples, marriage couples, and I was invited to go. So I figured, you know what, Friday night, I'll spend some time there. And he was up there speaking about different things couple goes through. Him and his wife have been married for a while. Now, he brought his wife to stand up right next to him. And I always remember this. He said, I don't know if you other guys experienced this, but I experienced this quite a bit. I can't remember her name, with my wife. Let's say her name was Essie. He said, Essie and I can have a conversation. and I can say to Essie, it's ABD, she would challenge you to the hill. No, it's not. Da, 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 da. And he said, okay, I would listen and we have the conversation. And he said, the next day, she can get a conversation with her girlfriend or someone else, and they would say, it's ABD. And she said, he would come, she would come back to him and say, you know, I was talking to so-and-so, and they would say it was ABD. And he'd go, well, you know, I said the same. No, you didn't. And he said, that would infuriate him because it's the same exact verbiage, the same exact language. But she heard it when she said it and wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that he said it first. So to me, again, you can't take the words from someone else and act like it's a different language. It's because him saying it to her, it's, she took it from a superiority stance, wasn't willing to accept it. And this is a husband, a man she's supposed to honor, respect, all of that, and kids with. I roll the question to you, Mr. Charles, when she's basically in a situation and she cannot accept what's coming from you but can accept it from someone else and take direction from anyone else, what is it, sir? What is it, we ask?
I think what's really bizarre about this is, and I understand we talked about her arrogance or her not really wanting to listen to the man. I think there might be some reasoning behind that. I think part of it may be is that she might have lost some respect or some trust that she had in him. You know, oftentimes early on, she might just want, some women might be all in, or they saw the mate as the head or the person that they really kind of confided in. And somewhere along the way, that man probably let her down in the decisions that he makes. Now, I do agree that they can just, some women may not just want to listen to their mate and they trust other people, but I think sometimes that it just, it can show that they might have let him down. And it's like, well, I'm not going to keep listening to him. Every time I'm listening to him, he's made some bad decisions, or I don't trust him. I don't have the confidence I had him in before. What I find ironic about this, as you mentioned, about they connect with, listen to their friends, and their friends have no idea or don't have the experience that their mate does. You know, like, for instance, somebody goes through something, they have a little bit more understanding about what that's like. But just because it's you, they will go off and listen to somebody else that has no clue. They might agree with them, but they have no clue what may be best in their best interest. So I find that ironic, but I also find that, wow, it's a wow moment. Because I don't think they sometimes understand who might be the best person for support and also who might be the best person to really give them the best advice or the best guidance.
You bring up a very good point there about the trust may have been broken there. And some things may have happened to where it makes it hard for her to basically accept it. But I want to ask you this, though. I want to ask, just based on that point, let's say the girlfriend has basically done some things where she's shown to her over the years that, you know, she's not worthy of such trust either. Why is she still continuing to listen to her? That's a question for you first, Mr. Charles.
Yes, sir. I think that's a great question. Logically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe because she feels like this person is going to agree with them on that standpoint. Or maybe, as you said before, if it's she might feel superior to her husband. So therefore, I'm not going to listen to him because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. I love him. He takes care of the household. But when it comes to serious decisions, I'm not going to do that. But then again, it's kind of weird. I'll get this out real quick. It's the mental thing where people make decisions. You can be talking to somebody about, you can be like, oh, we should do this together. And then you're like, oh, no, I don't know if I want to do that. But a friend will say, hey, let's take a trip to such and such and such, somewhere you've never been before, they've been before. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we're thinking about going to Acapulco. What the hell? I've been talking about that for 5 years, and you wasn't interested. Now all of a sudden, you got your swimsuit on, get your got your passport ready to go. Really? Okay.
Yeah, Mr. DeVries, because it almost seems like sometimes, I hear the point, he could have let her down. He could have done some things where there's some trust that's not fully there and hasn't been resurrected. I get that. But why is it that the girlfriend seems to have more leash in a sense where she can basically have done some things in the past, but yet she's still one that could be confided in, trusted, more so than he, Mr. DeMaurice? Your thoughts?
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And that girlfriend is going to co-sign anything that person is going to do, say, do whatever. So you want to cling on to people like that. That's going to kind of co-sign all your foolishness, anything you do. They're going to be right there, as opposed to their mate, who's not going to co-sign everything that you do, and saying things to the contrary and giving you a contrast to what you. I always found this to be true. Now, sometimes people already have it in mind what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and all that other stuff. They're looking for people to confirm it and push them towards that direction to make them feel like they're doing the right thing. And when people are opposed to that and can be more objective, they tend to get away from that type of person. So the girlfriend might be the one that's co-signing all the foolishness that the person's doing, not knowing that girlfriend may be sabotaging her and making her look bad, because if they did have some disagreements, don't think that, and I've been around enough women to talk to and get this information from, don't think that woman forgot it, and she may be just setting up traps to make you look foolish or to just drop you as a friend later on, and have you out there looking crazy, or behind the scenes trying to get your man. So that's another show, another topic for another show. But anywho, that person is going to co-sign and confirm anything that person who doesn't trust their mate is doing or saying. So, yeah, they're going to cling to them. That's their, their amen corner. Of course they're going to cling to them, because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel right. Makes them feel validated. And it adds on to all the foolishness they're trying to do, that somebody says, my girlfriend says that's okay. And we all been in situations like that. And that girlfriend is not giving the best advice, but that girlfriend is going to agree with every little thing that they do or say.
You struck a chord to me when you said about confirmation. And that is key. That is something that I find interesting. And I wanted to go back to that for this reason. To me, if you're seeking confirmation, what does it mean? What does that mean if you have to find confirmation outside of yourself, Mr. DeMaurice?
You're probably way off. You're probably just way off, and you're seeking confirmation to do something really crazy or really wrong. Because if it's right, you know it's right, and this is what you should be doing, you know you should be doing. You don't need any confirmation of that. You know it's right. But when you need confirmation, you need somebody to egg you on to do stuff that you ain't supposed to be doing, and as to justify what you're doing is right. That's what I think that confirmation comes from, or trying to seek that confirmation.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, because realistically, to me, to seek out confirmation, or you kind of need confirmation to booster what you're feeling, then what you're feeling is not really real. It's not. Because if it's given to you strong and solid and real, I mean, confirmation is cool if it comes, but when you're seeking out to basically booster what you're feeling, Mr. Charles, I don't see how that says to me what you're feeling is real. I want to get your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, no, but I think that's a lot of people. Some people don't have the confidence in themselves to believe what you're doing is the right thing. So they need other people to kind of justify, as you said, to make it be okay. Sometimes you just have to make decisions that you may not feel comfortable in making them. And then the people that you go to, they have no idea what the hell you're trying to do, but they will co-sign because y'all buddies or y'all good friends, and like, oh yeah, girl, you good, you all right. And you go, okay, well, she said it, I'm good. You just need another person to verify that you're not way off, as you mentioned before, crazy as hell. So with that being said, some people need that. Other people just kind of fly off the handle, and they do it, don't worry about it, and they could be wrong as hell too. But I think it's a very sticky a slope, and also there needs to be a balance, a serious balance. So it's one thing to understand, but you also understand who you're asking to verify or confirm what you're doing, because they may not be the most suitable person to give you that. But sometimes in other people's minds, it doesn't matter.
There it is. Interesting. We're going to do a show on the future. Friendship, what does it mean? Yes, so that kind of really kind of comes out of that friendship, because sometimes I think we allow our friendships to really play a pivotal role in our lives when it really doesn't deserve to. So we'll spend a little time talking about that. I want to do a show soon, and I'm going to call it, Why Does Love Seem Like a Cubic's Cube? Just, no matter how you twist it, you turn it, you can't get the line up. When you think you got the line up, it's still off. The colors just don't match. Those will be two shows we'll kind of get into soon. Also, gentlemen, I want to give you guys some thought, man. I'm thinking that we're rolling into, we're in the middle of spring, we're going to roll into summer, that we usually do 4 shows a month for the month of June, July, August, until football season kicks back in. We'll do 2 shows a month, give ourselves a chance to really kind of do a few different things for our Sunday mornings, put that out there for thought. Next week, we got a 3-day weekend for most people that work, some type of work. The work I do, they don't believe in all that, so we'll see what happens. But we can basically take that weekend to ourselves and not do a show next week. But, yeah, give some thought. We'll talk about it another time, how you gentlemen are feeling. If you want to stay with the 4 for the summer, you want to do the 2, we could do that. But either way, we're going to continue on chugging and doing what we do here with Black Men Talk, myself, Mr. DeMaurice, Mr. Charles. And we'll do it. We'll keep doing it. I want to roll into the questions at this point. I'm going to come to you first, Mr. Charles, the questions that you may have for us this week, sir.
Yeah. The question I have now is, you mentioned something earlier. We're talking about mothers, and I'm thinking about women in general. When it comes to decisions that are being made in this country and also in the world, do you think women are gaining a significant balance or moving up in regards to how they're viewed in regards to, like, decision makers or leaders? Or you think that it's still where it was before, or it's gotten worse in how we view women in leadership roles?
I think a good portion of us are not as narrow-minded as we used to be, and we realize that they are doing some phenomenal things, and we're not scared of it, and we're moving out of the way like we should. There are some that are fighting it, and I think that's a smaller degree that tends to fight it and want to kind of, you know, want to hang on to what they believe, and they're afraid in a sense. But to me, I think overall, yeah, I think there are. I mean, if you look around in a lot of different areas, man, they're leading and they're doing very well. You know, some of them are being questioned because, again, some of us don't want to kind of get out of the way. But, no, without a doubt, man, without a doubt. When you think about it realistically in terms of education, higher education, man, they're beating the pants off us, bro. They are literally beating the pants off us. And I said this before, as men, you know, we're sitting around BSing, doing a lot of BS stuff, and we're not tightening our game. We're not basically having we're losing our aspirations. We're spending more time with ESPN, with a beer in our hand, with Hennessy in our hand, and with a joint in our hand, where they're down to business getting it done. And the sad thing is, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn loose to Mr. DeMaurice, at some point, bro, realistically, and I know they outnumber us. As far as numbers, they do. They outnumber us. But to get to the point where they're not going to be bothered with us, because while they were striving and doing their thing, a lot of us have been playing little kids' games, PlayStation, Xbox, those type of things. And I'm not saying it's a matter of keeping up, but as a man, if we're going to be leaders, damn it, we got to do the things what leaders do. Your response, Mr. DeMaris.
Man, that speech, I forgot the question. I think women have stepped up. I think they've been, I don't want to use this word allowed, but I think policies and the way society has changed and I think by necessity that women have moved to the forefront, because in other countries, women are allowed to get an education and do some of the things that women do in this particular country because the power structure doesn't allow that. But I think over the years that they have made many strides in being leaders in different industries and different industries and different businesses and different ways of life. But that's very it's you have to be very careful with getting those leadership roles, because I always remember the saying, "Heavy is the head that wears the crown." And so with that leadership comes responsibility and accountability. And so that as you see women going to the forefront and becoming leaders, let's not forget, and men, let's not forget this either, that with that leadership comes responsibility. And that responsibility and that accountability should not be taken lightly in those leadership roles. So as they strive and become more of the leaders in this society and in different fields, let's not lose that responsibility and accountability that we know in other areas with women, they don't really take that very well. So that is a skill that comes along with leadership and being the boss.
Mr. DeMaris, your response, Mr. Charles.
Yeah, man. That messed me up right there. Still trying to gather my thoughts from now.
Yeah. Well, keep it real. Keep it real. You want to you do it, girl. Go, girl. Hey, this is a responsibility and accountability to go with that, too.
No doubt. Because we know how that goes. So, yeah, we're happy. We're glad that she's moving up in this situation. But if something goes awry or goes crazy, it's like, all right, well, we coming. We told you.
It can't be his fault.
You weren't ready.
It was your fault.
Yeah. Hey, we told you she wasn't ready. I told you. They ain't ready. They not ready. And that's the general idea for a lot of people. But I think there is definitely some exceptions to that. There are women that are ready to stand up and be leaders and do what they have to do. But we just have to understand that some of us in society, especially us, our males, we're in that backwards mode. We've been talking about that a little earlier today, too. We just have this backwards mentality, and I think it's just going to continue to take strong women that continue to prove, and that's what you say. And I'm going to go right back to what you mentioned before about the equation, that sometimes it's going to take some women that's going to have a little bit arrogance and a little bit more superiority. Dignity is one thing. Dignity is one thing. But for some women, if they want to keep moving up and be seen in a certain light, they're going to have to show a little bit of their superiority and also their arrogance and understanding what they are and what their skills mean. I think that goes a long way. So if you pass and just, they're going to give me the gold watch at the end, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you got to take the grass for you, bro.
Yes, sir. Mr. DeMaris, your question, sir.
Yeah, man, I was talking to a buddy last night about this, man. I was wondering if I was the only one feeling this. We just lost Jim Brown, who was considered by many an icon, a legend, and on the football field and activism, things of that sort. And I was telling a buddy last night, and I was wondering if you guys felt the same way. I know I wrote an article. I had to go back to the article that I wrote for Mr. Charles's website, The Reality of Sports, about how I was feeling about Jim Brown maybe a few years ago. And This one, I know, I remember how I felt when Ali passed away, but when Jim Brown, and I feel bad for his family and condolences for his family, but I remember years ago kind of taking him off that icon kind of pedestal that I had him on, and it did hit me, but it didn't hit me as much as, you know, Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali. And it directly went to how he kind of politically went totally to Trump. And that kind of just soured me over the years for that. Am I the only one that kind of felt that in this panel?
No, bro. No. I'm there, and I might be ahead of you. And it's not even based on what he did with Trump. It's not. I remember Mr. Charles brought to our attention on the sports show that picture of Muhammad Ali when they was all in the room, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all of them was in the room, Bill Russell. When they were trying to get Muhammad Ali, we thought they were supporting Muhammad Ali. But they were influenced, if not paid, to try to persuade Muhammad Ali to go against Muhammad Ali Belief. Now, I'm sorry for Jim Brown's loss, but to me, Jim Brown played both sides of the fence. When I found out about him, I lost respect. So I'm not going to gain respect for him because he died. Truth to be told. So, no, it had nothing to do with Trump. And far as his political, whatever you want to do, that's his choice. I will say this. I don't like the way he treated Obama. I don't. There's certain things he did that I can call and say I don't like. His football, the way he ran the football, there it is, what he did. But, no, you feel, your heart feels what your heart should feel, bro. When I heard he passed, my heart didn't even flutter. And like you said, when Bill Russell passed, and I'll say this about Muhammad Ali, you got to choose the words properly. You talk to Muhammad Ali when you talk to me. Just do. That's how I feel about Muhammad Ali. And I grew up as a kid wanting to see Muhammad Ali get his ass kicked. I always rooted for Joe Frazier. So, no, you feel what you feel, and you're entitled to feel what you feel. And whatever someone else feel, let them feel it. But, Jim, you feel for Jim Brown based on his actions, what you saw, what you know, and that's honest. There it is, Mr. Charles.
Wow, this is going to be interesting. I'll say this. I think there's different levels of what I call leaders and different people and the influence that they have. And Jim Brown is one of those people that, you know, I think he did some great things in the manner of speaking. Even after I found out what was going on, I mentioned about how he went about his business. But when I see Muhammad Ali and Bill Russell, I see them on a different level. I still think Jim Brown did some great things, and particularly with the gangs and things like that where other people could make moves. And, of course, he's a hell of a football player. But for me, I always saw – I kept Jim Brown in the proper perspective. When I found out a long time ago about who he was, I was like, oh, okay, that's what you're rolling with. So when the Trump thing, when he was supporting Trump or connecting with Trump came up, a lot of people were, oh, my God, oh, Lord, oh, not say it ain't so. I was like, okay, I see you, because I saw you earlier. What people don't understand is he connected with Trump, but he also, Jim Brown, voted Republican back in the 60s. The man voted twice for Nixon.
Right.
So he doing that back then. He loved his people and he worked with it, but he also understood his pocketbook. His pocketbooks, you know, he kept his money in the causes that he worked for separately. And for a lot of us, it's hard for us to understand because we put people on such a high platform that, you know, when they fall off or they're not the person that we thought they were, then we were crushed. To me, he's always shown who he was. We just didn't take enough time to look and really see him in that light.
Yeah, you're right, boss. You're right, man. You know, when you know what you know, you act like you act, Mr. DeMaurice. What's going on with your response, sir?
Yeah, I found out last night I wasn't the only one thinking of that. And I knew the history about him being a Republican. And I you know, Mr. Charles shared that on a sports show. And I read his book. And this is a guy that is, to me, I consider like a man's man. But the article I wrote was, you know, what happened to our Superman? Because he put on the air that he was our
that black masculine, you know, in the movies and in the black exploitation movies, that he was the man's man, and we need to follow that lead. But over time, that kind of tarnished a little bit. I still have respect for what he did, what he tried to do, what he did in California and L.A. with the gangs and all that other stuff. But it's you get to a point, I think, in every man's journey that your heroes become your peers, and that you don't always agree with them, but you have to, you know, learn from them and move on and try to be better.
That's good stuff right there. Gentlemen, I want to say something with the time we have left, and I'm going to say it now, and we may not have, you know, a lot of time to go in it, but I want to throw it out there, get a quick response. We got like 4 minutes to go. I saw an interview with Nate Burleson and President Obama the other day, and Nate asked him, how does it feel to know that your wife did not love you for 10 years? And, man, it was almost like Nate walked up to him and sucker punched him, bro. And Obama said, well, you know, if you know Michelle, you know, after the kids left, things got a little better. And he said, you know, she said to me, you are okay, Dad. I'm like, wow. So just hearing that, Mr. Charles, your reaction to it. Here again, if you can keep it to like a minute, we get out of here. But I want to go deeper into that, but just your initial reaction to it for now.
It's a little shocking, but at the same time, you got to understand what's going on. I think when they say she didn't love you for 10 years, my question is it because of the fact, is it actually she didn't really like him? Because you don't love somebody, you really don't want to be with them for a long time, do you? Can you turn that on and off? The other question I have is, or the point I want to make is, he was just an okay dad. He was trying to handle the situation of leading a nation. And she knew what she bought into when she pushed him towards that route. So you could say one thing, but the question is, what kind of role did you play in that, despite what he was dealing with, and understand it from that standpoint? I like to dive deeper into that to find out that. You can say one thing, but when you got into it, is that what you really wanted, or was it more than you could handle?
Take your minute, Mr. DeMaurice.
Mine's going to be short and sweet. Pride comes before a fall. You know, you get with your girls, and you get with the lights flashing, the cameras on, and you start talking and all, blah, 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 blah. Pride comes before a fall. That guy has his pickings of any woman he wants in the world. you better play your role. You better play it carefully. You better, you know, some things should be left unsaid. But I didn't see the interview, but I think the dude who asked the question trying to get ratings, I think he works with CBS.
Nah,
don't
say that, bro. Don't say that, bro.
Yeah.
Nah,
with
I'm sorry
Oprah's girl
in.
Over there.
I'm sorry to step
Oprah's girl
no, I'm
over
sorry
there.
To step in.
Don't
say that, bro. You got to ask the question. If your wife has been going around in a book and publicly telling people, I didn't love you for 10 years, what are you supposed to ask about? His golf swing? No, bro, he got to ask the question. I'm being honest with you. That's the question you got to ask. And it's like, and I respect him for asking it. Because here again, she's the first lady, bro. See, everybody thought it was great when she was out here putting out a book and all this stuff and all this. Now she put him in a position to where, yes. Now, who knows what type of father he was? But I can't be mad at Nate for asking the question. That's not about ratings. That's about honesty. Nate wouldn't answer that question if she didn't say it, man.
Here's why I say it's about ratings. Partly about
like
ratings.
20
Here's
seconds,
what I'll
bro.
Say about this.
I just want to say,
all right,
I'm gonna say, I gotta roll, but I'm gonna say this, brother. We gotta go. But I'm gonna say this. Love, you didn't love somebody for 10 years, but you're still with them. We'll talk about it soon. We'll go deeper soon. We don't have the time right now, gentlemen. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Next weekend, we'll take a walk, and we'll come back in about 2 weeks. It's When Black Men Talk. Appreciate it.